give Nick a minute to return. Actually, maybe we can just start these two items, and because they're not emergencies. So let's resume the council meeting and take up. There are, as Carl just pointed out, two items left over from this morning's calendar, which we do need to hear, items 475 and 476.
475, revised transportation fees, rates, and charges for fiscal year 2013-14 and fix an effective date. And 476, extend special rates and charges and create new permit types for public works permitting services through fiscal year 2013-2014.
Hello at last. Thank you for being here.
What's that?
Hello at last.
Hello. So good afternoon. I'm Christine Leon, and I'm the Development and Street Systems Management Manager for the Portland Bureau of Transportation. So we have two agenda items up today. Alyssa Mahar, I think, is on her way, but I'll get it started. Okay. So the first one up is our general fee ordinance, and we don't have any significant changes from our fees from this current year, but we do have exhibits A, B, C, and D as attachments for our fees. PBOT is anticipating that revenues will increase by about $100,000 from the current year, and based on the fee changes in the ordinance, we've already got that included in our budget. So after that, then we have the public works permitting fees updates. Lana Danaher was here. She had to leave early. She is my counterpart in the Bureau of Environmental Services, and she's a partner in the public works permitting. So I'm going to invite Christopher Weir on up. Christopher is our public works permitting engineering manager, and we're going to present to you some special fees for public works permits. So the public works permits are permits that we issue to developers or their contractors or architects or engineers for doing street improvements, or to residents who are not required to do street improvements but desire to do them under a public works permit. We have some updates to the fee methodologies and new categories. Now, in looking at the list, it may appear complex, but we've been working on honing in on some categories and trying to come the very efficient and effective methodology for these past 3.5 years. So just a little bit of history. Prior to 2009, when we did the consolidation co-location ordinance, public works permits were basically based on an hourly charge. We were not doing any upfront estimating. There was no set time frame built into the estimates. We expected 100% engineering plans to be submitted, but typically they were not submitted without scoping issues. There was encroachment issues. There was unresolved conflicts. There was no established coordinated process for appeals or disputes. Our program today has all those items addressed. So I'm proud to say that we are continuing to strive for predictability, time savings, responsiveness, early engagement, continual improvements, a route for disagreements and appeals. And we have now, Chris is going to go through fairly quickly, because I know it's a long day, the three rate methodologies that we have. We're going to have a base fee plus as a structured fee, a set fee, and in a very few cases, an hourly fee. So, Christopher Weir.
If I could just interject, I have to leave at 4:45. And
okay.
So, and I don't have any questions. I look through your rate methodology and I feel I understand it. So to the extent that you could make it a 30-second presentation, that would be helpful.
Okay.
Unless other commissioners have
questions. I've seen it, so.
This goes to a second, right?
So I'll take any questions if you have any questions then.
Yeah, I think you've done a good job. So I don't think there are any. Or anybody have any questions?
No.
And is there anyone signed up on these?
No one signed up.
Yeah, I think
I appreciate your patience the whole day and that you were ready to give us a nice presentation.
Not only is no news good news, but good news is no news, so that's why there's no one here to testify. You've obviously made a lot of people happy with these changes. So, good. Well, thank you both. I think we'll just move both of these to second reading.
You're here, I want to say thank you for your diligent work, and I'm very excited about how this project continues to work out well, and I know it's because of your good work.
Yeah, it is. It's really good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Okay, they both moved to second reading, and we'll take up the remaining two afternoon items.
Okay. The 3:30 time certain then?
Yes, please.
482, accept the report of the Chief Administrative Officer for the quarterly report of the Technology Oversight Committee.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Abby Kopic, and I work on the communications team for OMF, and I provide staff support for the Technology Oversight Committee. I'm joined today by one of the citizen members, Colleen Gadbois. The other citizen members could not be here today, Doretta Schrock, Wolf Pinfold, Joshua Mitchell, and Ken Neubauer. I'm going to provide a few of the committee's administrative updates this past quarter, and then I'll turn it over to Ben Berry, the Chief Technology Officer, who will provide an update on the individual projects. As brief background, the TOC Technology Oversight Committee was established by City Council in the spring of 2011. It's an independent 5-member citizen advisory committee that reviews selected City of Portland technology projects. And the projects may be selected based on the size of the project budget, potential risks, impact to city operations, or community interest. There's a formal intake assessment that both bureau directors and the chief technology independently complete that determines whether a project is overseen by the TOC, and the chief administrative officer, Jack Graham, is the final arbitrator if needed. This quarterly report that we're reviewing today covers committee activity from January to April 2013. One exciting change this quarter was that we added 2 new members. Colleen Gadbois, who is with us today, is a regional manager at Providence Health and Services and is Commissioner Salzman's new representative. Colleen replaces Ben Berry, who became the city's CTO in January. Joshua Mitchell, who's unable to be here today, is the Web and Enterprise Applications Manager at Multnomah County, and he's Commissioner Novick's new representative. Josh replaces Dave Lister, who resigned as Commissioner Leonard's representative earlier this fall. Both of these new members have jumped right in, and we're excited with their expertise and knowledge that they bring to the committee. You'll remember that quality assurance by external QA contractors is a required component of all projects overseen by the TOC. The Bureau of Technology Services has established a pool of flexible service contracts with QA firms to help expedite the contracting process for bureaus. We've been working with these contractors for over a year now on the various TOC projects, and the TOC held a meeting in February with the QA contractors to see how the process was going and whether there were any elements that could be improved. The QA consultants did offer some feedback on the monthly reporting templates, and we'll be implementing some of those suggestions in the next few months. Regarding project management updates, the TOC continues to look at methods for identifying problems early and raising the flag when needed. The TOC's charge as an advisory body is to focus on whether projects are completed on time, within budget, and within the project scope. We've designed a new dashboard that will be completed for each project to provide a visual representation showing changes to timeline, budget, or scope. You have a couple of those color copies in front of you that we'll be reviewing later in the presentation. This dashboard also includes a confidence level for each field in response to the City Council discussion at our last quarterly report. The Bureau staff fills out the center information, and then the QA and the TOC members make their own independent color evaluation for each of those fields. These will be completed monthly as part of the TOC notes that are posted online, as well as in these quarterly reports. A couple other small updates from this quarter. The TOC heard their first 90-day post-implementation report from the Storage Area Network, which you'll hear about later today. This report is intended to capture best practices and lessons learned after a project has been completed. The TOC also agreed that all projects need to complete a final Bureau update after a project is complete to officially close the project from the TOC portfolio. This quarter, there was one city project that completed intake documents for the TOC, and it was determined not to be a fit for TOC oversight, and that was the arts tax implementation sponsored by the Revenue Bureau. It was decided that there was not enough time for meaningful TOC input, but the Revenue Bureau did come and present an oversight at a TOC meeting. In terms of upcoming milestones for next quarter, The TOC meeting held earlier this week for May, the chief procurement officer talked at length with TOC members about the city's contracting process. So the TOC will be writing up their recommendations in the coming weeks, so you can be expecting some more information on that. Before we move on to the project updates, did you have any questions about the administrative updates that I just covered? Great. Then I'd like to hand it over to Chief Technology Officer Ben Berry, who will be representing the project updates.
Thank you, Abby. Mayor, Commissioners, I'm Ben Berry, Chief Technology Officer for the City of Portland. I'm going to cover four projects, and because of the consideration of time, I'll hit highlights so you can get into the charts. I think there's more detailed information we want to discuss about the charts. I'll cover the ITAP project with the Business Development Services, the monthly billing statements with Water Bureau and Revenue. I'll cover the affordable housing software with PHB Housing, and the enterprise network technology refresh with BTS. In terms of the ITAP project, the Information Technology Advancement Project, remember the goal is to develop paperless permit and case management and allow complete online access to the permitting and case review services that the development bureaus will provide. Now, the status of this project is the project is meeting expectations in its current phase, but the TLC continues to monitor the initial concerns of timeline and total cost. In terms of major accomplishments, this quarter, three contracts are in the final review stage by the procurement services, the city auditors, city attorney's office, and the auditor's office. Tentative agreements have been reached and contract approval scheduled to occur throughout April and into May. There are three different contracts being looked at, the Sierra Systems, with the systems integration and implementation services, the Infor, which is for the Hanson software licenses and maintenance, and finally the Avolve project doc software licenses and maintenance. The ITAP business case document was revisited and included a range of potential project efficiencies, including savings realized by replacing current end-of-life software. And you may remember from last time, the estimated total cost of the project was $11.3 million. The return on the investment is between 5 and 7.5 years after the ITAP system goes live in 2015-2016. I'll move down to upcoming milestones for next quarter. The contract signing and project initiation was earmarked for May. I understand we're about a month and a half delayed in some respects of the contracts, but we're still planning to get the contract signed. And, of course, the phase one is from May through fall 2013. There's a formal project plan that will be established and will develop and install a sandbox training environment for this initiative. Now, we'll come back to the risks and concerns and comments from TLC. I want to draw your attention to the triple constraint chart. This is the new chart that's color-coded. The first column here is the initial estimate for ITAP from at the initial TOC intake board, which is back in March 7, 2012. The expected completion date at that time, our thinking then, was May 29, 2015. The confidence level at that time was low. Moving to the baseline, that will be included once the project formally gets started after project signing, so we'll actually get a new baseline on that. The current revision in terms of the schedule is looking at summer of 2015. The confidence level of that is medium. And with that, QA has given that a green in terms of schedule. In terms of budget, back in March 7, 2012, the approximate budget forecast was $8.2 million. The current revision of that is $11.2 million. QA has recorded that as green. Confidence has gone from low to high. And in terms of scope stability, for ITAP back in March 7, 2012. The scope was considered high, detailed scope. The scope today is still considered high. And I'm going to turn my attention to Colleen Gabois, who will consider the concerns of the TOC.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Colleen Gabois, and today I'm representing the TOC. I would like to report out on our risk concerns and comments from the TOC on this particular project. Since this is a large project still in its early stages, the TOC has rated the timeline and budget yellow to stay vigilant and alert to potential unknown risks or conditions that may not have surfaced yet. And you will see that on your chart on the next page. Baseline information will be completed on the dashboard once the contracts have been approved. We do feel that there is scope stability in this project, and we agree with the QA personnel that that is green.
We're now going to turn our attention to the monthly billing statements. Mayor?
Before you leave that one, you say your level of confidence on the scope stability has improved a lot. Tell us about your level of confidence on the cost.
On the cost, we felt that we were initially at $3.4 million. Then I think we moved to about $5 million. Eventually, we got to $8.2 million. So that's why we're saying that was a low cost
confidence yeah, right.
because it kept moving.
Right.
But now that we're getting closer to contract signing, we've included the total cost of ownership with city employees' cost embedded, and we're at that $11.2 million now. We feel very confident in the cost because we've taken so much time to get there and really do some what-if analyses.
Okay. It's reassuring. Yeah. It's been a steep graph.
Yes.
And we had a big discussion about that last time, but right. I'm still concerned.
We're glad you were watching it closely.
Yes. We'll move on to the monthly billing statements with the Water Bureau. The Portland City Council directed the Portland Water Bureau to modify its billing system and processes so the majority of its water and wastewater customers receive monthly statements. Currently, water performs quarterly meter reads and bills quarterly. The quarterly bill will be divided into three monthly billing statements under the new program. Meter reads will still be done quarterly. Quarterly payments will no longer be an option. And in terms of the project redefinition, the monthly payment will now be optional instead of mandatory, but in order to be able to pay monthly, the customer must sign up for electronic billing. The status, TOC has concerns with the vendor delays and increase in costs. The major accomplishments this quarter, city project staff met with Kayenta leadership in early March to discuss the monthly statements project, specifically around two things: poor quality of programming delivered by Kayenta, secondly, scheduling and prioritization of defects reported. The project staff decided to move forward with a work order structured on Kayenta's revised timeline and assurances. Work order contains specific language that is deliverables are not that if deliverables are not met, payments will not be made, and the city will cancel the order. The implementation date has been revised from January to April to now, with the current deadline for Kayenta is the end of May 2013, with a go-live scheduled for October 2013. All functional tests have been run, 85% are completed without error, 16 defects are still with Kayenta. The city deferred e-billing portion of the project so Kayenta staff could focus on the delays to the monthly statements. Now, the upcoming milestones for next quarter, Kayenta's deadline for fixing current defects is May 31st this month. We'll come back to the risks and concerns. I want to turn our attention to the chart. The initial estimate from the TLC intake back in December 2nd, 2011, the expected scheduled date for completion was June 1st, 2012. Very low confidence at that time. The baseline upon start was January 2013 for an end of schedule, still low confidence, and the current revision is October 2013. Confidence level is medium to low still. As you can see, QA gives us a red standing in terms of confidence. From a budget standpoint, back on December 2nd, 2011, the budget for this order was $100,000, low confidence. The plan at the baseline of start was $160,000, low confidence, and the current revision is $270,000, high confidence, but yet the QA assessment is still yellow. For the scope stability, very low back in December 2nd, 2011, high in the baseline of June 29, 2012, and current revision scope stability is high. QA believes it's a green in terms of scope, but you can see we've been all over the board with these particular changes for the Water Bureau monthly statements. I'll turn it over to Colleen for the TLC assessment.
Regarding the risks and concerns on this project from the perspective of the TOC, on the timeline, given the history with Kayenta, the TOC is not confident Kayenta will meet the May 31st deadline. The revised go-live of this project continues to be pushed back from the original date of July 2012 to now October 2013. We have rated that a red. We're very concerned. Regarding the budget, Kayenta's recent negotiation for the May 2013 implementation date included a work order for almost $40,000 to complete necessary changes. The TOC is confident that a $270,000 reflected in the below dashboard will be the final project cost, but there is concern that more money keeps going into this project with unknown quality of what that money will buy. So that's a very big concern for us as we oversee this project. We're rating that piece, the budget, a yellow. Regarding scope, there are no significant concerns at this time. So we've rated that a green. Our ratings at this time are really in alignment with QA's ratings as well.
So does the TOC think we should continue moving forward with the project?
We did feel that we could move forward.
Thank you.
And the comments on this one?
The only comment is that for years, I've wished I had the money to buy the Ellsworth Kelly red, yellow, green print. And now you're rubbing it in my face by putting it on this chart, I just want to say.
It harkens back to my ODOT days, Commissioner, transportation. Affordable housing software, Portland Housing Bureau. Project description, a PHB contractor with housing development software, HDS, Inc., to implement a solution that will provide a single data repository for the city's affordable housing programs. This effort will replace disparate systems with a modern and effective single core system, allow for data entry efficiencies, reduce overall costs, and also improve access to data and reporting tools. The status, TOC has concerns with the lingering delays on this project. Major accomplishments this quarter. The project completion has been delayed due to glitches in the loan amortization schedules. However, the funds management, single-family, and multifamily and asset management modules are all fully implemented. Loan portfolio of 1,743 loans has been entered into the HDS loan servicing module. The HDS did release version 12 in early April. The Housing Bureau is reviewing the release in its test environment to determine the extent of fixes made to the loan servicing amortization schedules, which have caused the delays. In fact, we met today on the phone with this vendor, HDS. Their current status is that they believe they can get through the remaining modules by June 10th. We already have one of three modules in-house we're testing. They believe they can meet the June 30th imposed deadline now that the city has given them. And we're going to be monitoring it 1 week from today to see as they're getting closer and closer to finishing off these three modules. We'll come back to the risks and concerns of the – actually, we'll go there now with the TOC.
Regarding risk and concerns, perspectives from TOC, regarding the timeline, go-live of the loan servicing module was originally scheduled for October, then changed to January, and is now hoping for a May-June completion. That's a concern. The TOC is following up with PHB project staff to learn about the process with the vendor and what can be done to prevent this on other TOC projects. We are taking some action to hopefully remediate this type of thing in the future.
There's no triple constraint chart on this that will be provided the next time around. It's still a work in progress for them. Any questions on this particular project? Okay. The Enterprise Network Technology Refresh. This is a Bureau of Technology Services project. BTS maintains the city's enterprise data network that supports data and voice communications between servers, applications, computers, and the Internet. This network is critical to the daily functioning of most city services, including public safety. The current network was designed and implemented in 2005, and both hardware and software need to periodically be replaced to maintain vendor support and meet performance and reliability standards. This project will replace all the current network equipment over a 5-year period. Status, the project is currently meeting expectations. Major accomplishments this quarter, all server, farms, with exception of the corporate GIS, have been migrated to the new Nexus Core. The high availability network attached storage and virtual machine VMware host server migration to the new network are all complete. The high speed wide area network and integrated regional network enterprise network, as well as iNet migrations to the new network, is complete. The IBM P-Series networks are up and testing is in progress. The SAP networks are being configured and interconnected. This is a well-run, well-managed project. The TOC has seen the project manager at least twice, and we have no concerns from a BTS standpoint. I'll let the TOC report on their concerns.
Regarding risk and concerns from the TOC, overall, the project is on schedule and under budget. There have been some shifts in the interim deliverable schedule since the last quarter, but this has not impacted the overall schedule. These shifts were due to staff balancing on other projects and creating a more detailed timeline. The TOC views the majority of this project as routine migration, with the most risk in the early phase, such as building the core and the city's server migrations. TOC agreed to provide oversight for the first three milestones, which have an estimate completion date of July 2013. The TOC suggested QA provide quarterly reports rather than monthly to use funds most effectively on this project.
We do show a triple constraint chart on the same page here, page 8. That will be turned into our normal chart look and feel the next time around. Any questions on that project?
Good.
Gabby already reported on the two informational sessions we had on the art tax implementation and the public safety systems revitalization program. And then finally, the last page here, we did receive a final implementation, a 90-day post-implementation report from the storage area network project. That concludes our report. Are there any overarching questions from the council?
Questions, concerns? So a great deal of money at stake here, and that's why this matters. So we appreciate the rigor and the method that you're applying to this oversight function. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I move to accept the report.
Second.
Thank you. Is there anyone else planning to testify on this item? Then roll call.
Fish.
Welcome to our newest committee member, and thank you for your good work. Been a terrific job, as always, to the whole team. Thank you. Aye.
Novick.
Thank you very much. Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you for your volunteer time and for your very efficient presentation. Aye.
Hills.
Never hesitate to tell us if something is not going well. Obviously, that's part of your job, and you're doing that part as well. Thank you. Aye. Okay. I think we have one more item left.
Item 483, amend contract with Moore Isofano Goldsman Inc. PC to increase contract amount by an additional $409,704 to provide additional consultant services for redevelopment of the ADA Title II transition plan for the city.
Good afternoon, Shoshana Oppenheim from the Office of Management and Finance. The mayor continued this item from last week, and I'm available to answer any questions if there are any outstanding questions.
My only question is, do you need us to add an emergency clause to it?
Not at this time. If it continues to second reading.
So if it's approved next week, then that's fine.
And if it's approved without an emergency clause next week, that's still time enough?
Correct.
I appreciate you getting back to me and my staff and giving us a lot more additional information. I know Commissioner Saltzman had previously had some questions, but I would expect that the information that you provided would probably have satisfied his concerns.
Okay. Any other questions? Thanks. And that passes to second reading, and we are at last adjourned.
Thanks. Probably a world record to have this day to the end of the agenda for any questions. Move to second reading.
All right. First, we have an evening session tomorrow.
Right.
Which I hope will not be